Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of SAV Live. And this is a bit of a new special, and it's with Maritime Resources. I'm joined by Garrett McDonald here in a few short seconds. And it's a company I've been quite vocal about personally on Twitter, but also I've done a lot of videos with Garrett and a couple side visit videos as well. It's a company like I personally like a lot. I own quite a few shares and hope they're doing well. I'm obviously underwater, like most of you probably out there, but the company's finally delivered a feasibility study. Came out just a couple days ago, 48 hours ago, I think. No, 24 hours ago. And we got Garrett on now to discuss it with us, which is fantastic because obviously there's some questions, there's some differences to the PEA. And I'm personally, like, and that's my opinion, I'm quite positive on the feasibility study because reading between the lines, I see a lot of opportunity. And I don't envy Garrett at all. And I'll say that to you in a second, Garrett, but having to put out a feasibility study, A, over the summer in this environment is like a massive hat tip that you actually came out within the parameters I thought you would come out with. And but we got lots more questions. I've been talking way too much already. And let me bring you on. I'm even going to skip the sign up and follow us part here on the channel. But Garrett, it's good to see you and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kai. Good to see you.
Fantastic. No, I have to say congratulations because it is a big achievement to put a feasibility study out in general. Putting a feasibility study out in this environment is more than just a challenge. Run us a bit through the process before we talk about the highlights.
Yeah. No, it is a challenge out there. That's for sure. And feasibility studies, as you know, take a lot of work. You're building off something that you maybe started with the PEA like we did and then drill down into the detail. People should understand too, when you get into a feasibility study, any inferred ounces that you may have looked at in the past, those fall off the table and you're just left to look at what's left on measured indicated resource basis. So that is a starting point. And then we have to, of course, dig into all the costs and come back with quotes for everything, right? Equipment, services, contracts, you name it, right? And supplies for major equipment and et cetera. So it's a very detailed study. Done many of these in the past. And this one worked out really well. We had a good team involved. We had a lot of local content as well, which was really important. A lot of projects, I don't think, take advantage of that. And we've got a great situation in the Bayford area of Newfoundland and Labrador, where it is a mining district, right? There are operating mines, there's skilled labor, services. It's got everything that you need to build a project. So we took full advantage of that into our project design and our capital buildup.
No, fantastic. And why did you jump from PEA direct to feasibility? Just to cover that question real quick, why not a PFS in between?
Sure, you can do that. We can do it either way. I think the if you've got your parameters for the project kind of set before, at that PEA level, pre-feasibility studies are often a good time to do trade-offs, right? We went to the feasibility level right away, but we did those trade-offs along the way. There just wasn't that extra study step, right? So, and I think pre-feasibility studies are useful, perhaps maybe for big companies, where you have the one thing that junior companies don't have, and that's time. Okay. So we often don't have the time to, go through multiple cycles. These studies can take a long time. So we've got, we went from the PEA stage to the fees because, it's a similar mine plan going to same mill, same deposit. We didn't have a lot of things to really change, right? There wasn't a lot of trade-offs to do. One of the trade-offs we did do, we took some time to understand, is the mining sequence, which is really the key to the hammer down deposit. And we looked at open pit versus underground and where that, elevation may be that you could switch to underground from the open pit. And what we chose to do in the study was to go with a single open pit only, eliminate any underground mining at hammer down for now. The resource below the open pit just wasn't quite large enough to support all the sustaining capital that would be required. When you start getting underground, as you know, it's a different world where you need a lot of development capital, power and water, ground support, etc. So what we saw beneath the pit, there's definitely veins that continue, but they need a little more drilling to make them the resource larger to support an underground mine.
Now let's talk about the KPIs or the highlights actually of the feasibility study before we go dive in deeper. Let's bring everybody to the same level because I think the numbers are actually really good based on where we are at right now. Do you want to run us through those real quick?
Yeah, you bet. So we ended up with a reserve of about 1.9 million tons of 4.46 grams per ton diluted in the open pit. It's a very high strip ratio deposit, about 20 to 1. But that's okay because we can handle that thanks to the grade and the capital costs that we have on the project at around 75 million Canadian. The strategy, I think, and the kind of the mine plan was to produce roughly about 1,200 tons a day to run a mine feed. And we included an ore sorting system in the design. Done a lot of test work on the sorting. It's the kind of mineralization that sorts really, really well. It's basically pyrite, and the gold is associated with the pyrite. So with simple sorting with X-rays, we can reject probably 40% of the mass coming out of the mine. We can then concentrate that ore up to about 6.7 grams. And we send that to our Nugget Pond gold circuit, which is about 140 kilometers away. So if you think about it, you know, trucking was about $25 a ton. Processing is, you know, I think it was about 48 per ton. So that's a lot of cost to truck dilution and to process dilution. So if we can keep that at the mine site rather than trucking it, there's a big savings on costs. And also the benefit of reduced greenhouse gas emissions, right? So there's less diesel fuel burned. We're keeping trucks off the road, making the roads safer. So we included that in our study. So at the end of the day, we ended up with, you know, 700 tons a day through the mill, which, you know, that is our rate that we had in our environmental assessment. And, you know, your listeners should understand that the Hammerdown project has been released from the environmental assessment already. We have no federal triggers. It's a provincial permitting exercise for us, and we're getting very close.
So, Gary, you put out the feasibility study. We're aware of the parameters now. Technical report, I'm sure, is going to be filed within the next 45 days for investors who want to go through it in more detail. But what are some of the next steps now for you?
Yeah, so the next steps for us are to finish off the permitting for the project. After the feasibility study, our next steps are the closure plan and the development plan for the province. And those are fairly straightforward things to get through. So we plan to submit those very soon, and that'll probably take us a couple of months to get through that work. We've got the opportunity as well, perhaps, to do some early works at the site, just some kind of general kind of earthworks and setting up the, you know, the project for construction. Anyway, we're in a good situation. We can get through the permitting fairly quickly. And of course, the next big step for us is to arrange the project financing.
Gotcha. Before we talk project finance and what your ideas are there, like, I'm really curious what your thoughts are there. But coming back to the feasibility versus the PEA, I think, and I'm getting a bit frustrated as well because mining companies' costs are exploding and things like that. Like, but it feels like investors are not understanding the environment we're in. Okay, I'm pretending to understand because I've been to mine sites just recently, just a couple of weeks ago up in the Yukon. We've been chatting before. We had a chance to catch up in June during PDAC. But investors don't understand what is sort of involved and where costs are headed. Like that's what I was like. If you have some more experience to share with us, like, just to paint a clear picture, is like, you can't compare the PEA with a feasibility study now, and the world around us has changed. Can you just sort of pinpoint a couple more like examples, maybe?
Yeah, sure. It has changed, right? It was 2 years ago that we did the PEA studies, and a lot's happened since then, right? So we've gone. And anytime you do a feasibility study, you are getting into a lot more detail than you would at a PEA level. So you've gone out for quotes on every major piece of equipment, every service, every position that you have to hire for the mine. Just a few things to kind of keep in mind. I mean, inflation is now at what, a 20-year high or whatever it is. It's we're definitely seeing that in every project. We're not unique, and every project's seeing that. Supply chain issues are very real. Getting the equipment in on time is a problem, but it's starting to improve, I think. You know, there's the war in Europe, there's COVID. These are all extra things that we've had to deal with since the PEA was announced. As an example, steel prices, you know, for structural steel. So your typical I-beams that would be used, those prices doubled in the last 2 years. Plate steel, things that you'd use to make tanks, chutes and stuff, those prices tripled. Okay, they're starting to come down now because you see iron ore prices starting to come down. The one consistent thing we've seen, though, throughout the project, labor rates are starting to creep up as well. The, you know, ammonium nitrate, fuel, those are all inputs that you need, right? And that, yes, the gold price has come up a little bit as well since our PEA. But, we tried to manage that capital creep, if you will, and the operational costs creep through the design of the project, which is kind of unique. It's a brownfield site, so we take advantage of that. We have a gold circuit that we already purchased, so we're taking advantage of that. We're using sorting to reduce the operating costs of getting the ore to the mill. Take advantage of that. We have a modular pre-engineered design for all major equipment, whatever we can do to kind of keep it simple. That was the approach on the study. And Hammerdown is, for us, a starter mine. This is the one that gets us going, and we want to be able to use that to grow outwards from there. We know it's a short mine life in the study, but it was, like I say, a stepping stone for us, the first starter mine. There are many, many targets around Hammerdown where we want to go and try to add more mine life to the story, which we think there's a great chance to do that. Hammerdown was released from the environmental assessment already, so we focused just on that deposit, keep it simple with the pit, go to a mill that we already own, and just take it one step at a time. The next step will be to drill off the Orion Trend, kind of just south of Hammerdown, where we've seen some new mineralization actually very close to the mine site in an area that was never drilled before. So there's a whole thing that left to do here. This is just step one. And step one is to get Hammerdown into production to generate cash flow, because we think at, $1,750 gold where we are now, I don't think it's going to stay there very long. So when we start to get into construction and production, we expect the gold price to be higher. It's the perfect time to be, coming into the market. And we have that exploration story in the background.
I said, yeah, no, Orion, obviously. And then, as you said, the new addition there south of Hammerdown as well, that you, I think you just put out over the summer as well. I think it was early July that you put out some news on that as well. So, or mid-July, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's an interesting, it was about 30 meters of 0.8 grams, but it was more importantly, it was where it was and what it looks like. It's the same kind of mineralization that we see on the south end of Hammerdown. There's a zone we call Wisteria, which is more a continuous kind of 2 gram plate material. And we see it again at Orion over 2.5 kilometers away. So it was an area that we actually picked up in our condemnation drilling for the waste dump, believe it or not. It wasn't even an exploration target at the time.
Those are my favorite stories, by the way.
It always happens, right? Every mine you work on, you find this happening because, of course, it's natural. You try to put infrastructure as close to the deposit as possible so you minimize haulage costs. But anyway, we have lots of options. We can shift things around, or we can sequence the dump in a way to take that ore out first if anything ever shows up. But we think there's a good chance because there's a magnetic little trend that runs all the way down to Orion. Anyway, so it's a mineralization style we've actually seen before, but it's showing up in an area that no one's ever seen before.
No,
So it's good. It's good news.
Yeah, no, just like I was reading between the lines that you can easily extend it, like the life of mine. I think first paragraph, even if you read it thoroughly, you can just easily read between the lines that 5 years is not the end of it.
No. It's just the first chapter, and I think it. And we chose to do it that way because Hammerdown was ready to go, right? The environmental assessment is completed. That one's well enough advanced that you can move into a production decision and build it. The other one in the background, that needs a little more work, a little more environmental work, some technical work, and probably at least a year, I think. But then we'll be ready to hopefully bring that in to the story.
You mentioned it's a little more like to come to a production decision. So the point is, like, what do you need now to get to a production decision? What is involved, and when do you think you can make that?
Yeah. Well, really, it boils down to the project financing, right? Can you arrange the money to build this project? So we've been talking to groups about that. We'll kick off that process here in the fall. And I think from the indications we've heard already is there's a very good chance we could project finance this with probably more debt than equity. I would say maybe two-thirds debt, one-third equity. Now that's, we have to figure that out, of course, but that's kind of what we're looking at the moment.
So now let's be a little optimistic. Let's all get our crystal balls out. When is first pour?
Okay, we fast forward. Let's say that at the end of the year, let's say early Q1, that we're, fully permitted, fully financed, ready to go. Let's just dream about that for a second. I think that from there on, it's not a very long project to build, and we can build, if you kind of think of it, there's kind of three areas that we would work on at the same time. There's your open pit development, so you're doing your pre-stripping, your roads, and getting everything set up. You have your crushing and sorting plant that you can build, and that's very modular. Those are kind of pre-engineered, pre-constructed things that you can roll in, plug together, and go. And so there's that. And at the same time, while you're doing hammer down, you have the refurbishment up at the Nugget Bond mill that you need to do on the gold circuit. We have to add in a little extra grinding capacity at Nugget Bond. So that's kind of a brand new construction. So once you start construction on this one, you should be about 9 months, 9 to 10 months to get through. So let's say at the end of 2023, theoretically.
Fantastic. Since we got the question here on Twitter, I'm going to ask, like, your plan is to bring it into production yourself. Like, I don't think I ever heard you say anything else, but I just want to, like, hammer that point home. Like, I don't think we ever talked about, like, and we've had many conversations, I've been to site, we never talked about, like, we're getting this ready, packaged up to get sold.
You know what? I don't think that we, no, you're right. We've never said, hey, this is something we want to rush out and sell. This is a project that we want to build. And that's the absolute truth. I think that the size of it, the knowledge that we have of the project, the availability of skilled labor and support in the province and the communities that we operate in, is everything is there that we need. If this was a big, you know, a big project in the middle of, you know, the desert somewhere in some foreign country, and then maybe, but no, this is something that we know really well. We've got great support from the communities in the province. So yes, I think it's just the right size, and we've got the right people that we can do this ourselves.
Fantastic. Yeah. Let's talk news flow real quick. Like, what do you expect to happen, come out next? Do we have someone drill results pending as well, but also on pathway to production, obviously, like some of the next news flow items?
Yeah, so we want to get drilling again. We definitely wanted to get that going here in the spring, or sorry, this fall, because as I mentioned, we see a lot of opportunity just to the south of Hammerdown, and that's where the growth of the project is. So yes, that news will come in the fall. We'll make our applications for the remaining permits that we need, the closure plan. So when we get hopefully a good decision on that, that'll be released. We are looking at, we're still looking at our other projects that we have. We have some non-core projects, right? Remember, we had the Lac-Peltier project in Quebec, and some other assets that we're looking to invest as well, because it's you know, we need to raise some money, and these are good assets that probably belong in other companies. We're focused 100% on the Hammerdown project, so these are non-core for us, so we'll be looking for buyers for these things.
No, fantastic. I don't think I have any more questions on the feasibility study. I think, Garrett, we should catch up on the exploration side once the next set of drill results comes out. I think that's going to be quite exciting. And good luck on the financing panel. I'm just looking at my question. I think we've covered them all. I just want to make sure, since I have you, that we're not skipping or forgetting anything. I think we covered them. Like, maybe the only question I have, like, and that's more of a cheeky one, and I've asked you that one before as well, is like, why put out a feasibility study now and not wait 18, 24 months until the world economy and the markets have sort of like figured out what is actually going on?
Yeah. Well, that assumes in 18 to 24 months that might happen. We don't know. It could be worse, right? I think that if you're a believer in your project and the gold price, you know, should be going up sometime in the future, then I think it's the perfect time to do this. Even though we had to, you know, struggle through the inflationary environment that we're in, I didn't see that as a, you know, so much of a challenge that it would require us to delay things. I think that as things go forward, and we're already starting to see things change a little bit on your input costs, right? Iron ore prices are coming down. Diesel fuel prices are starting to come down. So our major inputs like that, you know, are starting to come down, which is only better for us. And so I think if you kind of look at what we've done, it's maybe worst case scenario at kind of, you know, we would maybe say peak inflation. I don't know, hopefully. But I think that our input costs will start to come down over time here. So we were certainly confident we needed to get this out. You know, we told the market we wanted to do this study for a long time, and this is the key for us to move to the next stage, which is to get the project financing. So we needed to get it out, and I'm really happy with the result. We had a good team put it together, great support from the province, the local communities, and our shareholders, of course, too.
Well, I've seen that firsthand. Like, they want to get that project done. Like, they want to get into production. I think it's a big part of King's Point there. The whole community really, really is engaged. So, and I got to see them again at PDAC as well. So they were really out there supporting the project.
So. Yep. No, it's a great situation. And so, like I said, we're really happy with the results. It's a good starter mine for us. There's lots of potential to grow it. And so it's game on from here. So stay tuned. We'll have lots of good news coming out.
Fantastic. And I know on that note, I'll end the video. No, that was great. Great finishing. Great line to end the conversation, Garrett. Really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for running us through. And we'll catch up very, very soon, obviously, as well. And thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Guy.
Fantastic. Everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the conversation with Garrett MacDonald. As I said before, I'm a shareholder of the company. I'm not going to sell a single share. I'm quite positive. Obviously, there's financing risk. The market cap has taken a hit for the company. They're trading at 5 cents. I forgot to ask Garrett about rollbacks and things, but I know his answer will probably be like, well, we'll do it when either there's a big news event or a catalyst. And he's smiling still because I can still see him on the camera. But that's the answer. That's the politically correct answer. But I don't see that as a risk because I see that will create value in the long run because that means they have financing and other big news happening. So I'm really positive. I'm going to, continue the conversation with Garrett. They're going to put up more exploration results. I'm definitely not selling a single share. This is a hold and buy for me. But then again, that's my opinion. This is not financial advice. I hope you like the feasibility. I'm positive. All I can say is good luck to Garrett. I think he's going to finance this, and I believe in the team, and I do mean that. And we'll have him back on as soon as we need to. And thanks so much for tuning in. Follow us here on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, hit that like and subscribe button, and we'll obviously be back with more content.